We want to thank our premier sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool, for making the Culture Proof podcast possible and also coming alongside us as we educate our kids. You know, I can remember when we started homeschooling and we just had our three little kids and it was so easy for us to just kind of, you know, sit them around the table and kind of educate them at the same level. And as time went on, you know, our three became six and we had two different age groups and it became way more difficult to educate them. And one of the things I felt so guilty about was that I could not teach, you know, five to six subjects for each kid in one day.
Yeah.
And, praise the Lord for BJU Press Homeschool that has video courses with teachers that I can trust and so that I don't have to miss a beat, not only in the education of our kids, but also in their spiritual formation. I'm really grateful for that. And so I want to encourage you, if you are thinking about educating your kids at home, and I don't know why you wouldn't be thinking about that. Why not think about BJU Press Homeschool? They want to help you. They've got homeschool consultants all across this country who are, you know, on standby to encourage you and to help you as you culture-proof your kids through discipleship and educating them at home. Visit our friends and premier sponsor of the Culture Proof podcast, BJUPressHomeschool.com, BJUPressHomeschool.com. Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki, and we are doing a very special podcast recording live from the Texas Homeschool Coalition Convention in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I'm so excited because I have the opportunity to sit down with Ginger Hubbard and just talk about the incredible ministry that is encouragement to moms and families in the rearing of children for the glory of God. Ginger, how are you?
I am well, Miki. I am thrilled to be sitting across from you.
Well, thank you so much. It's really great to catch up with you. I have been enjoying the Parenting with Ginger Hubbard podcast. And not only are you a podcaster, but you are also an author and a speaker. And first of all, a lover of Jesus, right?
First and foremost.
First and foremost, married mom of grown children.
Yes.
Yes. Which I feel like once you get to the place where you say, of grown children, everybody's ears perk up because it's like, okay, you have been where I am going, right? And so I should heed the wisdom that I can get.
Throw in a little gray hair and it's all the better.
Yes. Yeah. It's your proof. Yeah. It's the evidence that you've been there.
Isn't there a Bible verse about that, Miki? Yes. Something about the gray hair making someone wiser.
That's
shows
exactly
the wisdom.
Right. It displays your wisdom. Yes. So Ginger, I want to talk to you about the way that you navigate parenting issues that are really difficult to talk about. And that's one of the things that I've been so enamored by you. Like when I listen to you on the podcast, I think, man, how are you going to respond to that? Like, how are you going to answer that question? You know, but what I have found is that what we believe to be true is true, even in the most difficult scenarios. And that is that the Word of God can be trusted.
That's right. The Word of God is living and active.
Amen.
And it is not just for the days of old. It is for today's family and today's culture. There's no wisdom like the Word of God. And so we take every issue to the Word of God, and He has something to say about every struggle that we have. Jesus faced every struggle that we face.
Amen.
And so He sets examples for us in Scripture. And so when we are at a loss of how to handle issues with our kids or even certain issues that come up with ourselves, that's where we go. We take it to the Word of God, and God's Word is there for us, and that's where we go.
So Ginger, let me ask you a question. You have, if I remember correctly, you have two boys.
Alex. Sometimes people get confused because Alex is a girl. So I've got a son. They're all in Wesley's in his 30s now, but the rest of them are in their 20s. So, so we have a three boys. I've got two, and then I have two stepsons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're a blended family.
For some reason, and we should probably talk about that, right? Because that fuels even a lot of the questions that parents are navigating these days. So I want to make sure we touch on that, right?
Okay. Sure.
But I do remember hearing the name Wesley, and I don't know if it's because you've shared stories about him growing up.
They do give me permission, which I appreciate. I always say, can I share this? And they're like, yeah, they think it makes them famous.
It does. It does. Because when you said Wesley,
I'm like,
Wesley,
do you really
want to
be famous when I'm sharing these things that you...
Well, because they've come out on the other side, so maybe.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. And I like to share my own struggles, too. So they see that as well, when we're transparent.
It's so
the
true.
The beauty of transparency. Because then that way people can relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me say something, because you just said that. So that sparks another thought here, right? I'm thinking about the way that we disciple and train children. And I want to throw something out at you. It's something I've been thinking about. But I'm wondering if I'm on the right track here. When we are discipling our children, sometimes our first approach is to, and I think rightfully so, make sure that they have the right understanding of who God is. Mm-hmm. Make sure that we fill them with solid biblical doctrine. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have a firm understanding of theology. But I think far too often we miss opportunities to be transparent with our kids and to show them what all of the stuff we've just handed to them looks like in the life of the person who believes it.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Oh, Mickey, that's so powerful when we are willing to be transparent with our kids, even with the struggles that they face. You know, even whining, you know, when our kids whine.
Yes.
Do we not struggle with whining and complaining sometimes too? And so be honest with our kids. Let them see, you know, sweetie, this is a struggle for me too. I see that you're struggling with whining and complaining, and, you know, I struggle with that as well. But we can go to the Lord and we can confess that to Him, and we can ask Him to fill us with His Spirit and help us to overcome that.
Yeah.
And so let's pray together that God would help both of us today to not complain, but to give Him glory and be thankful to Him in all things. So yes, just admitting our own struggles to our kids.
Yes.
Man, instead of coming across holier than thou.
Right.
And just pointing our finger in their faces and saying, this is what you did wrong and this is what you should have done instead. Just saying, honey, I struggle with this too. Let's pray and ask God to help us.
Why do you think it's so difficult for us to do that, Ginger? Like, why do we hesitate as parents, as moms in particular, to be vulnerable in that way?
I think we're afraid that if we're not setting the right example for our kids, that if we show them our vulnerability, that we're not setting a good example. We want them to see that, you know, that we're doing everything right, and I guess we're afraid maybe that they may not have as much respect for us if they know some of our struggles. But they need to see that we struggled. We are sinners in need of a Savior and the rescuing help and grace of God just as much as they are. And it encourages them to see that and to see us seeking the Lord too. So I think we're afraid that they may not respect us if they see some of our flaws, but it's actually the opposite. They're going to have more respect for us if we're willing to confess to them some of the, I mean, in age-appropriate ways.
That's right.
So, sure, but when they see us responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit about some of the things that God is dealing with us about, it models for them how to rightly respond to that conviction and how to have a personal relationship, what a personal relationship with Jesus truly means.
Mm-hmm. So what's the danger of not being vulnerable, like not being transparent? And I'm thinking specifically here about, and this may be the wrong word, but I'm thinking specifically about the caliber of kid we would almost create. Maybe that's the wrong word as well. But like, what's the outcome of not being transparent?
Then they see us as prideful. They will not be as willing to be as transparent with us if they think that we view ourselves as always right. You know, that, well, my parents will never admit to being wrong about anything, so there's no point in coming to them and talking to them about things. And so just humility, you know, instead of pride is what they need to see in us. Just like when we blow it with our kids, you know. I mean, I wanted to be the best mom I could be, so I read every great parenting book I could get my hands on, and then I even wrote a couple of them.
Come on,
but
that's
I still blew it sometimes with my kids, and I could be prideful and say, well, that's my right as a parent. You provoked me. You did this, and so that made me mad. Or I can be humble, and I can say, you know, honey, the way that I just spoke to you, it did not show respect for you and it did not honor God. Will you forgive me? And let me try that again in a way that does show respect for you and does honor God.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of age-appropriate ways that we can let our children see that God calls us to humility, confession, and to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So,
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we beat ourselves up when we blow it with our kids or when our kids see us, you know, show out and, you know, be rude to someone in the grocery store.
Yes.
Or whatever. And we're all going to have those moments. But let's be willing to humble ourselves.
That's
and
right.
say, you know, oh, man, I just blew it mm-hmm. in there. I was not showing the love of Christ. I was not showing compassion. I was not showing kindness. And, you know, God convicted me of that. And so I was setting a bad example for you.
Yeah.
I was not a good witness to this person that I just mouthed off to.
Yes.
And, you know, I've asked God to forgive me. Will you forgive me too?
Yes.
And pray for me because that's an area where God's working on me as well. And so that is not going to cause our children to lose respect for us.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is going to have cause our children to respect that our relationship with Jesus is real.
It's real. Oh, that's exactly what's in
yes.
my mind as you're talking, Ginger.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to lower God's right expectation for mm-hmm. us, right, by over-exaggerating when I miss it. But at the same time, I do want them to understand that this is a real relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that my expectations, even of them, are not expectations of perfection.
Right.
That they're not going to stumble, that they're not going to, you know, lose their cool in a moment, but to understand also that there is grace, you
mm-hmm.
know, available to them.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Over the years, as you have helped moms and helped families with their kids, some of the questions and some of the conversations that you're having with them, how have you seen those conversations change in the current cultural climate that we're living in? Like if you look back over years and, you know, think of sitting over a cup of coffee
mm-hmm.
with a mom
mm-hmm.
and her just saying, okay, Ginger, I need to know, like, how
mm-hmm.
do I, versus today
mm-hmm.
with a mom.
How like, used to be. Well, used
yeah.
to, it was issues like, you know, the common issues that every kid struggle with. It was my child is whining all the time
mm-hmm.
or my child is always interrupting or my child is struggling with lying.
Yes.
You know, that's just the age-old struggles that kids have. But I tell you, Mickey, one of the questions that I got recently that came in, it just broke my heart because we are living in evil times.
Yeah.
I mean, where people are just losing all respect for God's word
mm-hmm.
and truth and what is right. We're living in an age that defies God at every point.
That's so true.
And so what the question we got in was a mom said that her son was playing soccer and really good at soccer and all boys, 9 years old, and he came home and had a great soccer game. So she hugged him and she felt something underneath his soccer jersey. And so she lifted his shirt and he was wearing his daughter's, he was wearing his sister's swimsuit underneath his uniform.
Wow.
And that is just heartbreaking. And she just, you know, was like, why are you wearing that? And he lied. And he said, well, I think that it must have gotten, I think her swimsuit got wadded up with all of my soccer stuff. And so when I put my soccer clothes on, it just wound up being on there. And
no.
then he fell all to pieces and, you know, ran off crying. And those are hard issues that how do we navigate that, you know, with a small child that's hard. That's hard questions. And so,
well, Ginger, how did you advise this mom? Like, I mean, because I'm sure that people who just heard that example, they're leaning in going, so what would you do?
Address
yes.
that? Right.
Yes.
You know, well, I haven't actually addressed it on the podcast yet, but I've actually been thinking about it. And I actually talked with this sweet mom that's a counselor, a biblical counselor here, because that's a hard question for me. I've
yes.
never had to answer a question like that. And I asked her opinion on it. And she's all about the heart probing questions too. And she said, you know, start instead of just losing your cool completely. She was talking about, you know, used to it was, when we're struggling, we have, you know, we go buy a new lipstick or
mm-hmm.
we have retail therapy. And now kids are turning to other things
mm-hmm.
or that's things that we didn't turn to when we were younger.
Yes.
And so ask questions along those same lines. Don't stress out over what it is they're turning to. Get to the heart of what's under the hood there that's causing them to turn to that. So it might be, you know, when you put that swimsuit on, you know, what were you feeling?
Yes.
What were you thinking? You know, why did you want to put it on? Not in an angry, accusatory way,
mm-hmm.
but just genuinely asking.
Yeah.
When you put that on, in what way did that make you feel better? And then maybe where did you get the idea that might make you feel better? Yeah. And so then you're learning where their sphere of influence is coming from, too, and where they're hearing these things and getting these ideas put into their heads to try things like that. So I didn't know how to handle it, but this sweet mom I was talking to was saying questions like that. And I thought that is a great starting point. Because then you really find out where is this coming from instead of just going into full panic mode. I thought that was a really great way
and why
to start.
You know, why do we go into full panic mode to begin with? I mean, I feel like it's because we automatically believe that there's some failure on our part, that there's something that has been messed up in our kid to the extent that maybe it's irreparable. You know, and we look at what's going on in the culture. Like we're all aware of what's going on in the culture. We understand how pervasive the normalization of the confusion is, whereas once, you know, we all agreed that what we're seeing could be, should be defined as confusion. Today, you can't even define it as confusion. I would imagine that mom would also have to start considering, where can I even go for help?
Right.
You know, that a person would not tell me to affirm,
right,
you know, as I'm trying to process. And so I guess getting back to my original question, why would we go into panic mode? Like, you know, how do we encourage ourselves in that moment that this is not a reflection of something I have failed to do as a mom?
Are you thinking right now about summer camp for your 8th to 12th grade students? Well, we want to invite you to allow your kids to join us and our entire family for a week of summer camp in North Carolina. That's right. This is the third year that we will be at the North Carolina Refuge. Yes. We are super excited about a week of culture proofing, July 21st through the 26th. We are going to discuss biblical worldview. We're going to train your kids in biblical worldview, and we are not holding back. We are going to defend the truth of Scripture. We are going to look to the Word of God for how we engage the culture. Yes. Our aim is to ready kids to be able to live in this world while not having this world live in them. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. We will be there with all of our children and even a few mayflies.
Maybe just a few.
Just a few.
But you know what? Great times of worship, great times of fellowship. It's just going to be a great time. So sign your kid up today.
ncrefuge.org, ncrefuge.org. If you've got questions, you can email us mail@cultureproof.net. That's mail@cultureproof.net.
Right. Well, just like their parents before them, all kids are sinners. And so we should never question, you know, why is my child tempted to sin? The Bible says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So instead of asking, you know, why is my child sinning, we say, what can I do to help them? What can I do to help my child? How can I point him to the forgiveness and the grace and the transformational power of Christ? So instead of asking why and blaming ourselves, we know that it would be unnatural if our kids did not sin, because they are sinners. And so, you know, it's funny, I don't want to get off too far off track here, but I was in Chick-fil-A one time, and this mom was standing in line beside me with her two small kids, and they were being really well behaved for a while, and then all of a sudden one sibling rears back and slaps the other sibling upside the head. And getting back to what you said, you know, we look at our kids, this mom looked at her child like he had turned into a green three-headed alien. She said, why do you act like that? But the question really is not, why does he act like that? The question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to allow this sin to take root in his heart and grow? Or are you going to use this as a precious opportunity to reach his heart and point him to his need for Christ? And so back to what you said, Mickey, about, you know, that sometimes we're embarrassed by how our kids act. And that's how this mom was. You know, it's Chick-fil-A, so there's like a million people in
line.
We don't have anything to do but watch this scene unfold here. So she has a whole audience. So she's embarrassed. And who hasn't been embarrassed by their kids sometimes? And so, but that mom had a choice. She could either, you know, take that opportunity to reach the heart of her child, or she could allow that sin to take root in that child's heart and grow. And so instead of focusing on her child's heart, she was focused on what maybe she perceived as her own failure and how other people were viewing that. And so she looked at all of us in line and she started making excuses. And she said, you know, my son, he's so tired. He hasn't had a nap and he's really hungry.
Oh, and he's hearing this too.
He's hearing this. And, you know, and I wanted to say, well, I didn't butt in at all, of course, but I wanted to say, well, you know, I'm tired and hungry too, but I'm not going to slap you upside the head.
Yes.
You know, we have to go, we have to look at the fact that sin is sin and wrong is wrong. Even if you are tired or hungry, it is sinful to slap somebody upside the head.
That's so good.
So, you know, but again, this mom was embarrassed and she was looking at how she was being perceived as a mom, possibly as a failure. But no, we don't look at, that's being self-focused. You know, we should not find our identity in how our children behave. Our identity is found in Christ, and we are there as parents. God has placed us as parents as authority over our children to teach them and to point them to their need for Christ, not to make excuses for their behavior because we're concerned of how their behavior is going to make us look.
Yes. Oh, that is so good. You know, I had a conversation with my older daughter, our 17-year-old, just this morning. And she is super, super careful about what she wears. And she's, you know, she cares a lot about honoring the Lord. And I'm very grateful for that. We've worked for years to ensure that she had a biblical understanding of modesty, right? And recognizing that what I like, okay, is not the standard, right? God's word is the standard. And so we developed this rapport where, you know, I could say to her, okay, I don't like it. I wouldn't wear it. But I think according to Paul's letter to Timothy, you'd be okay. Like, I think that this is smart. I think that this is okay, you know?
Yeah.
And so we were talking this morning and she was getting dressed and she came, you know, into our room and she said, okay, Mom, what do you think about this? You know? And I said, you know, I think it's okay. I said, I wonder if it's just maybe just a little bit not wise, you know, I don't think that it's like glaring, but I just wonder, you know, if it's, you know, subtly unwise. And then I started kind of like using more words and she said, Mom, she goes, I'm okay. You don't have to, I'm okay. Like, I trust you, you know? And then I explained to her, and I want to get your take on this. I said, you know, it's not that I think you require the words. The words are really to reveal what I'm wrestling with. So when I look at what you're wearing, I think I'm okay with that. But then my brain cycles through, but would another mom look at her and say that she should not wear that? And then does that become a reflection of a failure on my part that I didn't catch that, or I didn't notice, or I didn't think that that was, you know? And so I shared that with her and I said, so I'm telling you this to tell you, I think it's okay, but my wrestling is sometimes like, okay, am I going to be judged by what I say is okay? You know, I wanted her to understand that.
And that's, it goes back to that transparency, some of the issues that you struggle with as a mom.
So
that's good. You know, one of the things that is, as far as when they get into their teen years, and we really do need to loosen those reins a little bit. If we've been so diligent, so consistent to train them in their younger years, and so we want to begin to loosen those reins a little bit as they get older. And a lot of times we try to do the opposite. We give them free rein to do whatever they want to do. They're making all their decisions and going about their day, doing whatever they want to do when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And then when they become teenagers, we want to tighten those reins. And Mickey, that is the opposite of how God has called us to parent.
That's
as
good.
They grow and mature, they need to earn more freedom to make decisions. Now, obviously, we cannot support sinful decisions of our kids.
Right.
But sometimes we have to let them make decisions that we may feel like aren't best. We can certainly verbalize what we think, but we become a little bit more of a guidance counselor. And one thing I like to tell parents when the kids get into the teen years is we need to ask ourselves, is this decision that my child is making, is it a sin issue? Or is it a matter of personal opinion and personal preference?
That's so good.
And even personal conviction.
Yes. Okay.
And it, you know, because there's some things that we that are a little bit, I don't want to say gray in the scriptures, but that
they're disputable matters that Paul would have discussed.
That's
right.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so we have to give our kids a little bit of freedom there. So that's one question I like to ask: is am I digging my heels in here and putting my foot down, because this is just something that I don't like personally, mm-hmm. or that I have a personal conviction about? Or is this a biblical command that my child is disobeying? So just stopping and asking ourselves that question sometimes helps us respond a little bit more wisely. And it's fine. And I think our kids respect that. Mm-hmm. If we say, you know, you're not sinning against God here. So this really is your personal decision.
That's right.
And while this isn't the way that I would go, this isn't my personal preference and what I believe is best for you, I'm going to respect your decision in this, because you are a teenager now and this is not a sin issue. Yeah. So I'm going to respect. Here's what I think about it. But you're a teenager, and I'm going to respect how you feel and the way that the Lord is speaking to you as well. So sometimes we have to let the Lord leave room for the Lord to meet them where they are, as long as it's not a sin issue.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Okay, Ginger Hubbard, the podcast is Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. And I know that you've had some incredible conversations. If our listeners are listening right now and they go, okay, you know, I want to connect with her, tell our listeners several things. One, how they can connect with you, how they can find your books and listen to the podcast. But then, as we wrap up, I'd like for you to maybe think about two or three episodes that you feel like, oh man, when you walked away from it, you went, this right here, you know,
okay,
we needed this conversation so that we can go search for those.
Okay. All right. So the best place to find me and find out where I'll be speaking, check out my books, resources, all of that is my website, gingerhubbard.com. The podcast is Parenting with Ginger Hubbard. And so you can get that, listen to that anywhere you listen to podcasts. And as you were asking me that, Mickey, about which episode, it's funny that you should ask that, because there was this one episode where we were getting an influx of so many questions about kids having big emotions, just meltdowns, fear and just tantrums and just meltdown, just big emotions, basically, of all kinds. And for the first time, I always want to go to the Word of God. And I don't know why, but I just didn't know how to respond to some of the questions we were getting about these kids having big emotions. And so I started Googling big mistake, you know, big mistake. And so I spent probably 20 hours on this episode on helping kids with big emotions. And then when I got to the end of it, I was so convicted, because I had not put one scripture in there. I had not prayed about it. And so I stopped. I literally threw every bit of that work in the trash, and I got on my knees before the Lord, and
Amen.
I said, God, I don't know how to respond to this, but I don't need to be going to Google. I need to be going to your Word. Wow. I need to be asking. And James, it says, when we ask you for wisdom, you promise you'll give it to
Amen.
Us. So I'm asking you to give me wisdom, and I'm asking you to show me where to go in your Word. And so I restructured that whole episode, and it took half the amount of time because the Holy Spirit, I really felt like that episode is called Helping Kids with Big Emotions.
Okay.
I really felt like, and it was my host of my podcast, Katie Morgan, after we recorded that, she went, wow. And I said, it's because I had to I had no clue how to respond to some of those questions. And I said, I had to just lay, you know, myself completely aside and just really ask the Holy Spirit to pour into me what wisdom from His Word can really help these kids that are struggling with some of these emotions today.
Amen.
And so that was one of my favorites. And then I think our number one most downloaded episode is being consistent with discipline, or it might have been called Consistency with Discipline.
Okay.
But it was actually the third episode that we aired, and that is still our number one most downloaded episode. So
wow.
That really struck a chord with some parents there, and we got a lot of good feedback from that.
Well, I think because we wrestle with that.
Like we do,
you know,
sure.
We don't want to wear our kids out, but at the same time, it's like, oh my goodness, how many times do I have to, you
right.
know? So, okay, that's good. So one last question as we go to break here. We are at the convention, and as you and I were talking before we started recording, my three-year-old walked up and kept interrupting.
He's so adorable, though. He's the most adorable little interrupter I've ever seen. All I could do was smile.
He kept saying, it's okay, it's okay. So here's my question, because I know that this is something that you address directly. But so as he's walking up, how do I navigate that with him? And stopping the interruptions while also acknowledging that, you know, he's a person, right?
Right. That's right. Because we never want our kids to feel like that we don't want to hear what they have to say.
Yes.
We want to know what they're thinking and what they're feeling. But we want to teach them to communicate that in ways that shows respect for other people.
Yes.
And so one thing that, Mickey, you've probably heard me talk about this a lot, but we always want to teach, don't just tell our kids what to put off. We always want to teach them what to put on, how to replace what is wrong with what is right.
Yes.
And so we're always looking for ways that we can do that. So one tool that I implemented, because one of my kids was really bad about interrupting all the time, and that was one of those pet peeves. That was one of the things that really got under my skin. And so, but if I responded badly to that, I'm going to say, you know, which you were so graceful the way you responded, Mickey, but I, you know, when I would respond badly, it would be like, you know, I'm trying to talk to her, you're acting so ugly. And which is, you know, not really reaching their heart.
Right, but it's what we feel, though.
It's what we feel. It's what we feel. We need help with our big emotions. And so, but anyway, so I picked up on a tool I read about in some book somewhere. And so I taught my kids that when I was talking with someone, to put their hand on me. So they would place their hand on my arm. And they knew that when they placed their hand on my arm, that that meant, because we practiced it at home, that that meant, Mom, I want to say something, but I don't want to be rude.
Oh, that's
and then
good.
Just as soon, I would always put my hand on top of their hand.
To let them know
to
that
let them
I
know,
register this. Okay.
Yes, I know you want to say something, and I want to hear what you have to say, but give me just a second, I'll pause as soon as I can. And just as soon as there was a pause in that conversation, because they're little, we don't want to exasperate
that's
them.
That's right.
As soon as there was a pause, I'd say, okay, sweetheart, what did you want to say? And so that is a way, it's not a biblical command or
right.
a biblical mandate that our kids place their hand on our arm. It's just a way to prevent exasperation.
Yes.
It's a way to teach them that we respect them and we want them to respect us as well. So that was just a little handy tool and that worked like a charm
that
with
is
my
so
kids.
Good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Took
Ginger,
a little while
you.
For them to get it, but it worked.
Yeah, and it I think it helps us grow in our patience as well.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
as moms. Because yeah. like I mean the reality is what you just said, what we feel inside when they interrupt. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. So just having a plan. Sometimes
yeah.
it's just having a plan for
yeah.
how to respond that helps us to respond better.
That's so good. It's so wise.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Lord has really gifted you with, wisdom, to be able to meet parents where they are and the right amount of transparency, which you just exemplified when we were talking about the podcast episode. And you said, here's mm-hmm. what I did. You know, mm-hmm. that's that transparency and that humility to say, look, I am striving to glorify God. Even in the work that I do every single day. Ginger, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Mickey. It's always a pleasure to get to talk with you.
When we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we remain culture-proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.